In this letter to Ephesians, Paul prays that all of his readers may come to know what is the hope to which God has called them. Because we all liked hope. Friends, hope is a much misunderstood word. For some, hope denotes a lack of certainty. And often, hope is mistaken for wishful thinking. At other times, hope is confused with having a glass half full kind of attitude. But hope, in the theological sense of the word, isn't any of those things. You see, Pollyanna abounds in optimism, but Paul abounds in hope. So what is hope? Well, the author of Hebrews says that hope is the sure and certain anchor of the soul. For Thomists, that's a branch of faith, hope is the virtue that orders our actions to a difficult but desirable goal. In other words, hope is what keeps us going even when it gets hard. A Methodist might simply sing that hope is the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, a foretaste of glory divine. For Presbyterians and many others in the Reformed tradition, it is the sure and certain belief that God is still active and speaking into creation. But for Paul, hope is what keeps him fighting the good fight. Hope is what keeps him praying and praising, even while in prison. Hope is what gives Paul the boldness to declare that the gathering of a few scores of Jews and Gentiles in this port city of Ephesus is not just a sociological accident, but a new creation and a new humanity in Christ. As ridiculous as it might sound, God called the Christian community at Ephesus to be a sign of the age to come. By eating together in friendship, they are actively participating in the unfolding of God's purpose for creation. By joining together in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spirituals, this small band of disciples witnesses that there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. In short, God called this little flock at Ephesus to be a sacrament of Christ's work of cosmic revelation and reconciliation. This calling that we carry on for the Ephesians, and that the Ephesians were the ones who took, it's a delicate calling, because while the powers of this present age have been conquered, they are still dangerous. Unity in the Spirit is difficult to maintain. The bond of peace is quickly broken. Table fellowship is easily abandoned. And that is why Paul prays so fervently for the Christians at Ephesus. Paul fears that if the Ephesian Christians fail to stir the hope of their calling, they will trade the glorious inheritance of singing in chorus with all the saints for the safety of sectional rehearsals. Now, sectional rehearsals are important. You all know how much I love to sing, and you all know that I think that the Broadway comedy is God's finest gift to the world, the musical comedy. But when I first joined a choir, after hearing me speak, the director told me to go and sit with the basses, and I was completely confused by what was going on. Having never sung in that kind of setting, I found that my ear constantly went back to the melody line, and try as I might, I couldn't pick out the bass line to save my life. Thankfully, after a few warm-up exercises, the director held sectional rehearsals. And the purpose of the sectional rehearsal is to help each voice learn its part well enough to be able to sing together without being pulled into a different part. And what I discovered after a while was that I could learn my part in a sectional rehearsal, but not fully, because my part only made sense precisely as a part of the larger whole. Indeed, the real proof that I had learned my part was when I left the safety of my section and sat next to sopranos and altos and tenors. I was better in tune with the key of the piece when I learned to listen to the other parts. For many people today, sectional rehearsals are all they have ever known. In some places, one part has been dominant for so long that the other parts have only been preserved through sectional rehearsals. Locked away in the darkest corners of the basement, learning their parts, not knowing if they will ever get to sing with the whole choir. Many people in this country would not be prospering today except for sectional rehearsals. Far too many are held back because of the misguided belief that their voices are not needed. It is not easy to sing in chorus when one section blasts its part out of an overblown sense of self-importance. And yet it is hard to be in tune with Christ when so many of us have tuned out our neighbors. It is so easy to give up on the Ephesian calling. For many, the hope of our calling takes second seat to personal choice, cultural affirmation. We are free, and we have the right to sing whatever and with whoever we want to. I mean, how can we possibly commit to praying and living together week in and week out when we are so fundamentally different? And that's true. We are sometimes very, very different. So why bother? Well, I think there are two reasons. First, there is a word for describing the character of those who want to join the hallelujah chorus in paradise but refuse to leave their sectional rehearsals on earth. There is a word for describing the disposition of those who prepare to sing the songs of Zion by listening to the songs of Egypt. There is a word for thinking that we can be divided here below and still be ready to join our friends above. There is a word for desiring union with Christ without expressing love for all the saints. There is a word for expecting heaven without holiness. And that word, my friends, is presumption. Presumption means desiring the end while despising and forsaking the means to that end. Presumption is the arch enemy of hope, and it is the sidekick of despair. And secondly, my friends, hope abides. God is not finished with us yet. The power that God put to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places is still at work today. There is power in the name. Power to enlighten the eyes of our hearts. Power to wake those who are asleep. Power to even wake those who are pretending to be asleep. There is power in that name above every name. Power to free Christian tradition from cultural conservatism. Power to free love of country from fear of strangers. Power to turn off the treadmill of toleration and run the race of reconciliation. Power to grow into the full stature of Christ. What a thing that would be. Friends, we can claim that power. We don't have to be afraid to be holy. Do not be afraid to leave the safety of your sectional rehearsal and go and sit among the others. Don't be afraid to submit to the baton of Christ, because it is not Rick that calls you. It is not even Paul. It is Almighty God who calls you to join this celestial chorus with all the saints from every section. Don't try to put it off until heaven. Claim the promise today. Anticipate your heaven right here. Live into the kingdom of God now. Dare to hope in Christ. Amen.